And I'm also happy to be here with all of you and to share this this 17th Sunday of Pentecost with you. Last Sunday, which was the 16th Sunday of Pentecost, my son on the way home from church asked me, "Dad, what does that mean, 16th Sunday of Pentecost? Why do you say that?" And so I said, "Well, now I'm gonna explain it a little bit, you know, just do a little kind of a background on why we do this thing called the 17th Sunday of Pentecost and these different days of the year." So basically, the church year is broken down into like different times and seasons. The church year is different from the normal year in our calendar. The church year begins with the season of Advent, which is four Sundays before Christmas. That's where it begins. And there's a good reason for that. It's because basically the whole church year, the whole, like, all the focus of the church in the text that we read and everything are all focused around the life of Jesus. So that's really where it starts, is Advent. Advent is the... In the season of Advent, we're dealing with like the promise of the Messiah, that God was going to send a Savior into the world. And then we get into the season of Christmas, and of course that's the birth of Jesus. And so that's the beginning of the year, and then the basically we follow the life of Jesus and the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. And then we go into the giving of the Holy Spirit and the life of the church. So that's what comes after Easter and after Pentecost. Pentecost is the celebration of the giving of the Holy Spirit. And then basically from there, we're focused on the life of the church and all the teachings of Jesus and all the things that the Holy Spirit does. And so the interesting thing is you could see that the life of the, or the church year, I should say, you can see the Father in the giving of, in the promise that Jesus would come, and then the Father gave the Son. God gave his Son to this world. So we could see the work of the Father, and then, of course, the work of the Son, Jesus. He's the Son of God. We see his work in his life and his death and resurrection, and then in the end of the, and the rest of the church year is the work of the Holy Spirit, the giving of the Holy Spirit and the life of the church and the growth of the church and all the teachings of the Holy Spirit. So it's all a celebration of Jesus, and the Trinity is at work throughout the whole church year. And so hopefully that helps, that answers your question about what is the 17th Sunday of Pentecost. So here we are on 17th Sunday. So, with that, that's what today's about. And I want to bring you all greetings of grace and mercy and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from Jesus Christ, our Lord. May they be with you now and forever. Amen. Today's text for this 17th Sunday of Pentecost is taken from Luke, chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. It's Luke 17, 5 through 10. Would you please rise for the reading of the scriptures? We read in Jesus' name. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Dear gracious Father, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is everlasting truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Wouldn't that be something to be able to move a tree with your faith? You ever thought of being able to do that? Or like Jesus says in Matthew, that you could move a mountain with your faith if you had enough faith? That's what today's text will be about. Is about, well, really two things. There's two main ideas that we'll look at today. The first one is faith's power, and the second one is faith's work. Our text then has a context. We might ask the question, why did the disciples tell Jesus increase our faith? You know, what's the idea behind that? And I think there's a good reason for that. If we look at what we've been learning and hearing previously in the Gospel of Luke, if you remember, two Sundays ago we had the message of the parable of the dishonest manager. And if you remember, in that, basically the dishonest manager wasn't faithful. He wasn't a faithful person. He wasn't faithful to his master. And in fact, at the end of that, Jesus told them that, he told the disciples that if you are faithful in a little, then you'll be given a lot. And so, like, the whole idea is that he wanted them to be faithful in that which God had given them. And so we can see, this is where they realize, like, hey, Jesus wants us to be more faithful. So they're saying increase our faith. And then further, we heard last Sunday about the rich man and Lazarus. And we remember that whole story, how the rich man was rich, he had everything, and then the poor man had nothing. But yet, in the end, the poor man ends up with Abraham. He's like sitting right next to Abraham. And of course, that the Jews, they know who Abraham is. They would know what that means, that Abraham is the father of faith. You know, so they're like, well, this poor man, who's really the hero of the story, he's over there with Abraham. So, you know, we need to have faith, because Abraham is the faith person. And so these, I'm sure these thoughts are with the disciples, that, you know, faith is important. Jesus had told them twice already that they had a little faith. He told them when he calmed the storm, he said, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? You know, remember that when that happened. And on the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus was teaching them about the lilies of the field and how God will take care of us, because he gives the lily, he makes the lilies so beautiful and the flowers so beautiful. And then he says, would he much not, or won't he clothe you even more? Oh, you of little faith, he would tell them. And so the apostles here, they know that they don't have much faith, and they need more faith. And then the place previous to this, in the beginning of chapter 17, when Jesus is teaching about forgiveness of sin, sinning against people and forgiving them and all this thing, and then he talks about anyone that offends or sins against a little one that believes in him, he says that it's better for that person that a millstone is hanged on his neck and he's drowned in the sea. You know, a pretty severe judgment, actually. Because, and what that shows is that You know, God fiercely protects his little ones. The little ones, we understand, are the people that believe. They're the ones that believe in him. Those are the little ones. And God is, he's going to protect them very, very fiercely. And so I'm sure that the apostles are thinking, like, we need faith. We need Jesus to increase our faith. We need more faith. You know, we want to be like one of these little ones, or we want to end up at Abraham's side, you know, with faithful Abraham, and we want to be a faithful steward and all that sort of thing. And so increase our faith. And we probably say the same thing, you know, increase our faith. I don't know of any of us that's moving mulberry trees with our faith or mountains. You know, we always are feeling like we need more faith. And we do. We need more faith. And so, but what Jesus, his response to the question or to their request of increasing their faith, Jesus wants to teach them something about faith, something about the power of faith, and something about the work of faith. And so that's what Jesus will teach us today too. Because we can put ourselves in here with these apostles, increase our faith. And so Jesus will teach us something about faith. And so when we deal with the power of faith, that's really what Jesus is talking about when he said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey. A mulberry tree is a medium-sized deciduous tree. It's a tree that has leaves on it, and they grow actually pretty big. And the thing about them is they're fairly deep-rooted tree. So, you know, this is not a small thing. But let's face it, to move any tree with faith, doesn't matter if it's a deep-rooted tree or not, is, you know, it's something that we're like, right away that catches our attention when Jesus is saying something like that. You could move a tree with your faith, even if you had a little amount of faith as big as a mustard seed. And so what he wants to show us here is the power of faith. Faith can do great things. Faith can do, the smallest amount of faith can do the greatest of things. And so what sort of things does faith do for us? Well, first of all, faith forgives our sins. We have, like, we could look at the mountain that we move as being like all of our sins. Faith is able to remove our sins from us because of the work of Jesus. We believe that what he has done on the cross and his death, his resurrection, that's for me. That actually was for my sins. And so our sins are taken out of the way. As Isaiah says, that they're moved far away from us as the east is from the west. That's how far he moved our sins away from us. There was a sinful woman in Luke chapter 7 who was at the house of Simon, a Pharisee. Jesus was eating at Simon the Pharisee's house, and there was a woman there who was sinful. She was very sinful. It doesn't say what she was doing, but she had a lot of sins. And Jesus had forgiven her all of her sins. It's like the big mountain. He moved it away. And she was so thankful. She was there inside of that house, and she came up to Jesus, and she was crying. She was crying like tears of joy and happiness that Jesus forgave her sins. She's crying, and she bends down and lets her tears fall on the feet of Jesus, and she starts to wipe his feet with her hair and wash his feet with her tears and with her hair. You know, that's how personal of a thing that the forgiveness that Jesus gave to her, that's how personal it was that she wanted to do that for Jesus. Such a personal thing as washing someone else's feet. And so she does that to Jesus. And of course the Pharisees are like, you know, do you know who's touching you? This woman's a sinner and all this. And Jesus has something to tell them about sin and about how much he loves them. Like, basically, the one that has been loved a lot loves a lot. The one who's been forgiven a lot loves a lot. And so you're not doing this, you don't love me as much because you don't think you have as much to be forgiven. But anyway, so Jesus tells her and tells the Pharisees there that her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And at the end of that whole thing, he tells her, go away, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. So there's an example for us of faith doing great things and the power of faith to remove mountains, even the biggest mountain of sin that we could possibly imagine. Faith in our Lord Jesus and what he's done moves it away, and it will save us. Another thing to do with faith's power is that it connects us to God's power. And the thing is, like, God has power over nature, of course, because we know he made everything. So he can just do whatever he wants to with it. And that's shown in many different places, but in one in particular is when Jesus calms the storm. You know, he calms the storm, and then the disciples are amazed. They said, who is this man? Even the wind and the water obey him. And so that's kind of like what we see here in our story here, is that if we had faith like a grain of mustard seed, and we could move and we could tell this tree to be uprooted and planted in the sea, and the tree would obey. The tree would obey you, just like the wind and the water obeyed Jesus. You know, Jesus has power over all of nature. God has power over nature. And so faith really gives us a connection to God, and in turn gives us power over everything. There's nothing that God cannot do. We sing that in Sunday school, you know. My God is so great, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Everything is his, the mountains, rivers, and so on. And so we have this connection to God, and the power of faith, you know, is given to us. And so, you know, we might think of it, even this hurricane that happened in Florida, that God has power over that too. God has power over everything. He has power over this. And so a little bit of faith in God, the one who has power over everything, in turn, it gives us that power that God has. And we don't misuse it. It's not like we're going to use it in for witchcraft or whatever, like in the book of Acts when they realized that, oh, these disciples have this great power, and there's this one guy that tried to, like, buy it, and God's not happy about that. It's not a way that we try to, like, get some special power to do whatever. But the thing is, the main thing is that the power of God is, the main thing that it is for our salvation. In Romans chapter 1, it says that the gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. So you can see that it's faith is the thing that we get the power of God for salvation. So God's work, what he's done for us in his death and resurrection, what he's done, we access that. We actually are connected to it by faith. And so that's the power of faith. The power of faith is the power to save us completely, to actually make us God's children. And everything God has to offer, everything he's ever done for humans, is we get it completely by faith. We get all of it. We don't get just a little part of it. All our sins are forgiven. Everything God has done belongs to us. We have the promises of God by faith. And faith is a gift. Now that's the thing we might wonder, like, well, how do I get more of this? And maybe we're going to be like the disciples. Well, increase it. How do I get more of this faith? Because I want more. Because I know it gives me good things. It gives me God's power and his grace and all this sort of thing. But faith isn't something you make, or like, you can't just like take it off a shelf or something, or like read a bunch of books and then all of a sudden like, oh, I have faith now. No, faith is a gift. And that's why the disciples are asking for it. They're asking Jesus, increase our faith. It's God's gift. In faith, Romans chapter 10 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God gives us faith through the hearing of his word. And that's how we get faith. And he strengthens our faith. He does all these things so that we would be sure, that we would know that he loves us. He's done these things for us. We're his children. And all these promises, they belong to us. So we have these things that God, he does for us. And he gives us faith by his word and by his sacraments. You know, we come and we have communion. We know that our faith is strengthened there. And then also baptism, confession and absolution. That these are how God gets to us, and he gives us faith, he strengthens our faith, he builds our faith up, and all these sorts of things. And so our faith is a gift from God, and he always is giving us more and more. And he gives us the faith that we need to get through our lives. And so now we turn to this kind of story or parable type thing of like these unworthy servants, okay? And I think that Jesus is teaching them about the work of faith. First, we had the power of faith in the moving of the tree, but now we're thinking about the work of faith. What sort of things does faith do? Like, what does it look like when somebody's faithful? And so I think that's what Jesus is teaching us here, is a faithful servant, okay? He's using him as an example. And so the servant's out plowing and working in the field, and Jesus asks, he said, which of you who has a servant plowing or working or keeping sheep would say to him, come in from the field and come and recline at table, or basically come and eat? He says, you don't do that. Basically, the servant's job is to do what he's told. He's supposed to go along with the master's program. It's not about him. It's about the master. He's a slave, actually, this word for servant. He's a slave. And he's just doing somebody else's program. He's going along doing the things that he's supposed to do. That's what faith does. Faith is obedient. Faith does the things that are required. Just goes along with God's program. When God says, your sins are all forgiven and you're my child, faith, it holds on to that. And yes, okay, that's true. You know, and we don't argue with that. And so this servant, he's out there working in the field. He doesn't complain. You know, he's doing his duty. He's faithful. He's obedient. Even if it means going through like some kind of a test of endurance. Like, I don't know what maybe he's out in the field and the sun is shining and it's really hot and whatever, and it's a hard day or whatever. But he's obedient. In spite of all of that, he just does what he's told. And it gets in line and it follows. It just goes along with the program. And even when it comes to point to come into the house, you know, it's not like the master says, okay, now, oh, you've been working all day, now you can sit down and eat. But no, he still has more work to do. He says, no, you need to get me supper ready. And, you know, you got to change your clothes and get ready to be like a waiter now. And serve me while I eat and drink. And then afterward, you can eat and drink. And so what that teaches us is that faith is obedient even through, like, adversity. Or, like, when things aren't, like, too easy. Like, it's not going too good. Even still, like, it just goes through. It just goes through. And, you know, that can be the same way for us. Life gets hard, right? Sometimes life gets hard. Things are just not going our way. It's like, it's hard to keep pushing on. But faith endures. It just keeps going. And it looks to the Lord for everything. It looks to God. It knows that I'm in the house of the master, that I'm not going to go step out of line and just start doing like some other thing that he didn't tell me to do. But we do the things he told us to. We follow our Lord. We're faithful. We're obedient. We stick to him. We stick to the plan, to his plan. And that's what faith is. We don't come and decide, well, I want to eat first today, or I want to do some other thing and step out of his plan. But no, we just follow him in all that he's called us to do and where he's put us, and whether it's working in the field or then whether it's getting food ready or this sort of thing, whatever, it's not worth complaining. There's no point in that. But faith is obedient. Just sticks with it. So that's what it is to be faithful, and that's the work of faith. Another thing that comes into play here is that faith is waiting. Faith waits on the Lord. And that is shown us when this servant here is waiting to eat. He has to wait to eat. He has to wait to get done his work, and then he has to wait to come in and whatever, get ready, and he has to wait till the master's done eating and all this stuff. And then at the end he gets his own time to eat. And so that tells us that we're waiting. When we have faith in God, we're waiting for him. We're waiting for him to whatever situation we're in. You know, maybe there's a hard thing in our life that we're having trouble with, and it's just we're praying, we're trusting in God, and we want him to just fix this thing. Well, sometimes it's going to involve waiting. It's going to involve just waiting for our master to get done his stuff. So then, the thing we want is satisfied. And so there is waiting there. And the ultimate waiting that we do as God's children, as Christians, we're waiting for his return. We're waiting in this world for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, when basically everything will be made new, and all the thing that he started, and it's already in us. We're seated already with him. In Ephesians it tells us we're with Jesus Christ, seated in heaven already. We're already there, but here we are. We're waiting. We're waiting for him to come, and that the fullness of that will be will actually be part of it. So we're waiting for his return. We're waiting for the time when all this, the bad stuff in this life, sin and death and sorrow, sadness, will all be taken away, and there will only be the thing he promised to us, eternal life, living forever with him. So that involves the ultimate faith, the ultimate waiting is, in faith. We wait. We know he's promised. He's going to come back. We know he's good for his word. And in faith, we are waiting for him. Just like this servant, I'm sure, is waiting to eat. He's getting hungry. Maybe he's looking well, can he hurry up so I can eat too? Well, that's how we get too. We want Jesus to come. Things are getting hard. But yet, because of faith, we're just like this servant. We don't complain. We just wait. Just wait for him. And the time is coming. He's coming back. So there's no problem there. And the other thing that towards the end of our story here is the unworthy servants. He says when you've done all these things, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's telling them, when you did all these things that I have told you to do, then you just say that we're unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. So he's telling us that faith doesn't earn anything. It has nothing to keep. It's not like a thing that we get rewards or something for. No, it's faith is basically, the only value in faith is who it's based in. Faith is holding on to God. And so that's where all the worth is. God is the one who's worth it. He's got all the worth. And so faith doesn't have anything of itself, but faith looks to another. Faith looks to Jesus and to his work. And so that's why, in the end, it's not about us. It's not about, faith doesn't look at itself, is what I'm saying, is that, but faith looks to God. It always looks to Jesus Christ and his work. And so faith is always, it's doing these things. This is just kind of like the nature of faith. This is what faith does. Faith is doing these things. And faith is, God. In the end, God gets the credit. God gets all the credit, and God has, it gets all the honor and the glory, and for his work, for his salvation, and we receive it by faith. And so, faith's power is still strong today. It's still just as strong as it ever was. It takes the giant obstacles of our sin, and it takes them away from us. It takes big things away. Faith is just as powerful because it's rooted in God. And God can do all these things. He can move mulberry trees, calm storms, and forgive sins. And so because of faith, we have that power. And faith's work is still the same. By faith, we're obedient to God. We trust in his forgiveness, and we wait for him to come back. We're waiting for him in faith. And we'll praise him and we'll honor him forever. We'll say, "Worthy is the Lamb." You know, not worthy are we or anything, but worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor and praise and glory for now and forever. Now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close with prayer.